It's time for the Swap Shop Hour. Give us a call at 740-383-9944. It's time for Swap Shop. Come on, friends. If you're going to sell it, we're going to tell it. So pick up your phone and let me make it perfectly clear. It's time for Swap Shop. Good old Swap Shop. We're gonna try and sell it here. 740-383-9944.
Hey, everybody, this is Glenn Coble, and you're listening to Swap Shop, believe it or not. And I say believe it or not because most weeks we don't have too many swaps, right? Maybe one, maybe two, usually none because of this COVID thing and everything that's going on, and it's just too cold to go outside, right? Let's stay inside. But if you do have something, or if you'd like to make an announcement, an announcement about a church item, or an announcement about a bazaar or something like that, or if you have something that you'd like to buy or something you'd like to sell, you can call us and we'll put it on the air for you. We're expecting more come spring once this COVID's starting to move by and once it starts to warm up. But right now we're just kind of winging it. And most of the Swap Shop shows have been kind of devoted to an extension of On the Air on Thursday afternoons. Okay. What was I going to say? We do have something today that we can announce. If you're interested in putting something on, give us a call, 740-383-9944. But we'll try and give you information that you need to know, and this is one of them, one of the things. We got this morning from the Marion Public Health. In conjunction with Marion Public Health and Marion County Emergency Management Agency, they're partnering to give vaccinations for COVID-19. They've already done, let me look back here, they've already done 400 doses of vaccine to Group 1A, which is emergency responders, healthcare workers, people living in congregate settings. They've already done 400 of those doses, but they're going to have an additional 800 doses available over the next 4 weeks, and they've got it tiered down. Group Phase 1B, 1B is Ohioans 80 years of age or older, and they're going to give those shots. You can make an appointment by contacting Marion Public Health, Ohio Health, Marion General Hospital, Meyer or Kroger Pharmacies, and they will schedule your appointments. And they're doing it in this tiered system, whereas January 19th, Ohioans who are 80 years of age or older can sign up. I assume you can sign up any time, but that's the week that you'll be getting your shot. And then the following week, January 25th, those who are 75 years of age or older, or those that have severe congenital or developmental disorders, they can sign up that week. February 1st, those of us who are 70 years of age or older, or employees of K through 12 schools who are going to be in schools, in person, or one of those hybrid models where part-time they're in person and part-time they're not, those people can sign up then. And then on February 8th, Ohioans 65 years or older can sign up. So that's how they're going to do it. And the way to register is to email Marion Public Health at appointments@marionpublichealth.org. Let me give you that again. Email Marion Public Health at appointments@marionpublichealth.org. That's all one word, marionpublichealth.org. Appointments@marionpublichealth.org. You give them your contact information and they'll get in touch with you when they're ready. Or you can visit Kroger.com/OhioCovidVaccine. Or you can call this number. Now, it wasn't working earlier, but it may be up and running now. 866-211-5320. You might be able to get through. Or you can visit Meyer.com or call 740-389-5402. So those are a couple places you can contact to get in line for your shot. Ohio Health eligible patients will be notified when they can self-schedule their vaccine online through mychart.ohiohealth.com or the Ohio Health app. I happen to have a MyChart thing, and I'm going to go home and check on it and see if I can self-schedule. But that's good news for all of us, isn't it? We're going to be getting those out starting on the 19th. Unfortunately, we've already done 400 doses to people who are emergency responders, healthcare workers, or people who are living in congregate settings. Let's see. I'm trying to see if there's anything else on this news release that will help you out. But you can also check the website www.covid19.marionpublichealth.org. That's www.covid19.marionpublichealth.org. Hope that gives you some encouragement, gives you the correct information, and good luck, and get out there and get your shots if you can. Here in this afternoon period, which we call Swap Shop, we'll call it Swap Shop until the spring and COVID goes away, because we hope that once those two things happen, we'll be able to get people on the phone again and start selling some of their junk, right? Or as I like to say, tchotchkes. I'm going to have to look that word up and see where the heck that comes from. In this period, in this segment of the show, I'm going to read JFK, John Kennedy's inaugural speech, which he gave, I don't have the date, but it must have been 61, I'm guessing. Yeah, he was shot in 63. So, yeah, must have been 61, January 20th. We're almost to January 20th. What, we're 6 days away from the inaugural here in the United States, or here this year, where we will have President-elect Biden and Vice President-elect Harris will take the reins of our government, and we'll give them a shot at it, right? That'll happen next Wednesday. We're not quite sure where. We're not sure that now today they're kind of talking that they're going to do it a little bit more constricted than they had initially thought they were going to do because of all the rioting and evil that's taking place in Washington, D.C. But anyway, it'll be coming up, and matter of fact, we'll be on the air. We're still trying to figure out what we're going to be able to do with Dr. Feynman on my show. He cannot make it because he will be ensconced in a place that will not be mentioned so that he can watch the inaugural. Dr. Feynman is our station's presidential expert, and he does know a ton of stuff about politics and presidents, and he's kind of focused on presidents, even assassinations. He's written a book on the assassinations of presidential candidates or people. Smart man. And I enjoy having my show on Wednesdays. We usually have him on, but we may not have him this coming Wednesday just because of all he's going to be watching the inaugural, and we're trying to figure out if we can do it a different way. But my guess is we're kind of in trouble as far as having him on, but we'll have him on the following week. We also are going to have on a couple of extra special people. Next week we'll have Fred on from American Historical Society. I couldn't remember the name of the organization, American Historical Society. And the following week we'll have James on, who is our national. He's our community naturalist. And he always has interesting things to say. So we got pretty full January. Let's get through January and February, and hopefully we can see some light at the end of the tunnel with a little warmer weather, right? You know, it hasn't really been that bad, has it? I mean, not too bad. Well, let's go to the phone, okay? Hi, you're on the air. How can we help you?
Yes, I have a question to ask you. Usually in January, there's a guy that comes up that brings apples and oranges, like from Florida. If anybody knows anything about that, could they call in and let us know?
Yeah, that's a good idea. Now, is that the one that comes out in that shopping mall in a truck out there on the north side or on the east side of town?
Yeah.
Let's maybe we can get somebody to let us know. I didn't know he came up from Florida, but I knew he traveled here. Yeah.
Yeah, he usually brings the honeybell oranges and apples, grapefruit.
Looking forward to that. I would like some. I'm on a diet, and apples and oranges seem like a good way to have a snack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All
okay.
right. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll keep our ears open. Thanks.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, if you know when that gentleman is coming north to sell us stuff like that, I love fresh produce, especially fresh fruit like that. And it keeps me from eating popcorns and potato chips at night. And I think it's more healthy, and I do believe the calories are lower than if I eat a whole bag of popcorn. Yeah, I am very bad at doing that sort of thing. And I've been trying, and I have lost a little bit of weight. I've lost about 3 or 4 pounds. On a guy that's as big as I am, 3 or 4 pounds, you would never notice. So that's what we'll try. If you know when that gentleman's coming north, give us a holler. We have some people that are interested, and tell us when he'll be here. Might even let us know what his name is so that we can say hi when he comes to Marion and welcome him here to our friendly confines of Marion, Ohio. Excuse me. I'm kind of choking up here. All right. I am going to read the first inaugural address, the only inaugural address by John F. Kennedy. And this is considered to be one of the best, I would say one of the five best inaugural addresses ever. It was apparently it took them several weeks to put this together. And I think that's probably true on most inaugural addresses. It takes the writers and the president himself several weeks to hone these speeches out. Some of them are very long. I think there was one that was 2 hours and some minutes long. We'll have to ask Dr. Feynman if he knows what the longest one is. But the Gettysburg Address was like, maybe 3 minutes, 4 minutes. Now that this one is about twice as long as the Gettysburg Address, but considered one of the best speeches made by a president. You ready? Vice President Johnson, Mr. Speaker, Mr. Chief Justice, President Eisenhower, President Nixon, Vice President Nixon, President Truman, revered clergy, fellow citizens, we observe today not a victory of party, but a celebration of freedom, symbolizing an end as well as a beginning, signifying renewal as well as change. For I have sworn before you and Almighty God the same solemn oath our forefathers prescribed nearly a century and three quarters ago. The world is very different now, for man now holds his mortal hands on the power to abolish all forms of human poverty and all forms of human life. And yet the same revolutionary beliefs for which our forebears fought are still at issue around the globe. The belief that the rights of man come not from the generosity of the state, but from the hand of God. We dare not forget today that we are the heirs of our first revolution. Let the word go forth from this time and place to friend and foe alike that the torch has been passed to a new generation of Americans born in this century, tempered by war, disciplined by the hand and bitter peace, proud of our ancient heritage, and unwilling to witness or permit the slow undoing of those human rights to which the nation has always been committed, and to which we are committed today at home and around the world. Let every nation know, whether it wishes us well or ill, that we shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, in order to assure the survival and the success of liberty. This much we pledge, and more. To those old allies whose cultural and spiritual origins we share, we believe the loyalty of faithful friends. United, there is little we cannot do to host cooperative ventures. Divided, there is little we can do, for we dare not meet a powerful challenge at odds and split asunder. To those new states whom we welcome to the ranks of the free, we pledge our word that one form of colonial control shall not have passed away merely to be replaced by a far more iron tyranny. We shall not always expect to find them supporting our views, but we shall always hope to find them strongly supporting their own freedom, and to remember that in the past that those who foolishly sought power by riding the back of the tiger ended up inside. To those people in the huts and the villages across the globe struggling to break the bonds of mass misery, we pledge our best efforts to help them help themselves. For whatever period it is required, not because of the communists may be doing it, not because we seek their votes, but because it is right. If a free society cannot help the many who are poor, it cannot save the few that are rich. To our sister republics south of our border, we offer a special pledge to convert our good words into good deeds. In a new alliance for progress, to assist free men and free governments in casting off the chains of poverty. But this peaceful revolution of hope cannot become the prey of hostile powers. Let all our neighbors know that we shall join with them to oppose aggression or subversion anywhere in the Americas. And let every other power know that this hemisphere intends to remain the master of its own house. To that world assembly of sovereign states, the United Nations, our last best hope in an age when the instruments of war have far outpaced the instruments of peace, we renew our pledge of support to prevent it from becoming merely a form for invective, to strengthen its shield of the new and the weak, and to enlarge the area in which it writ may run. Finally, to those nations who would make themselves our adversary, we offer not a pledge, but a request that both sides begin anew the quest of peace before the dark powers of destruction unleashed by science engulf all humanity in planned or accidental self-destruction. We dare not tempt them with weakness, for only when our arms are sufficient beyond doubt can we be certain beyond doubt that they will never be employed. But neither can two great and powerful groups of nations take comfort from our present course. Both sides, overburdened by the cost of modern weapons, both rightly armed by the steady spread of the deadly atom, yet both racing to the altar, that uncertain balance of terror that stays the hand of mankind's final war. So let us begin anew, remembering on both sides that civility is not a sign of weakness, and sincerity is always subject to proof. Let us never negotiate out of fear, but let us never fear to negotiate. Let both sides explore what problems unite us instead of belaboring those problems which divide us. Let both sides, for the first time, formulate serious and precise proposals for the inspection and control of arms, and bring the absolute power to destroy other nations under the absolute control of all nations. Let both sides seek to invoke the wonders of science instead of its terrors. Together, let us explore the stars, conquer the desert, eradicate disease, tap the ocean's depths, and encourage the arts and commerce. Let both sides unite to heed in all corners of the earth the command of Isaiah to undo the heavy burdens and to let the oppressed go free. And if a beachhead of cooperation may push back the jungle of suspicion, let both sides join in creating a new endeavor, not a new balance of power, but a new world of law, where the strong are just and the weak secure and the peace preserved. All this will not be finished in the first 100 days, nor will it be finished in the first 1,000 days, nor in the life of this administration, nor even perhaps in our lifetime on this planet. But let us begin. In your hands, my fellow citizens, more than in mine, will the rest of the final success of or failure of our course be. Since this country was founded, each generation of Americans has been summoned to give testimony to its national loyalty. The graves of young Americans who answered the call to service surround the globe. Now the trumpet summons us again, not as a call to bear arms, though arms we need, not as a call to battle, though embattled we are, but as a call to bear the burden of a long twilight struggle, year in and year out, rejoicing in the hope, patient in the tribulation, a struggle against the common enemies of man: tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself. Can we forge against these enemies a grand and global alliance, north and south, east and west, that can assure a more fruitful life for all mankind? Will you join in this historic effort? In the long history of the world, only a few generations have been granted the role of defending freedom in its hour of maximum danger. I do not shrink from this responsibility. I welcome it. I do not believe that any of us would exchange places with any other people or any other generation. The energy and the faith, the devotion which we bring to this endeavor will light our country and all who serve it, and the glow from that fire can truly light the world. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. My fellow citizens of the world, ask not what America will do for you, but what together we can do for the freedom of man. Finally, whether you are a citizen of America or citizens of the world, ask of us the same high standard of strength and sacrifice which we ask of you. With a good conscience, our only sure reward, with history the final judge of our deeds, let us go forth to lead the land we love, asking his blessing and his help, but knowing that here on earth, God's work must truly be our own. That was the first inaugural address the only inaugural address by John F. Kennedy. Lots of thought put into that, wasn't there? It was if you were living at that time, it was kind of scary because the reference to blowing ourselves to kingdom come with our atom bombs was very pointed at that time. If you will recall, not too much later, John F. Kennedy faced the problem of the Cuban missiles. And there's an interesting, John Meacham has this blog that I listen to, and he talks about that Cuban missile crisis and how close it came and how we avoided it with some truly good thinking by both parties. I believe it was Khrushchev, was it not, who was the head of the Russian party, or the Russian communists at the time, also did not push it too far. He was a thoughtful person at that point and kind of helped us stay away from World War III, which would have ended all of us. And those of you who weren't born yet, you would never have been born. It was a scary time. I'm sure you, if you are my age, you remember in grade school, they made you drop and get underneath your chair, hide under your desk. I'm certain that they knew full well that if an atom bomb blew up, being under a desk was not going to help you. It was more of a security blanket for those of us who were young at the time. That way we thought that something could be done, even though the chance of having anything that we could do were slim and none, and Slim was leaving town. It was a scary time, very scary time. We have gone into a scary time again here in the United States with people who want to tear it all apart. I don't know why. I don't agree. As I talked earlier, using Martin Luther King's quotes as my guide, our fears have gotten us to a point where we are attacking each other out of fear, not out of thought, You never attack somebody out of thought. Let's face it. You attack people because you're afraid of them. You're afraid of what they will do. You're afraid of losing control. And that's kind of where we've gone. So anyway, let's hope that this doesn't get as dangerous as it was back in the Cuban Missile Crisis. It was that was a worldwide danger time. Now, I heard, I was listening to the news today, and they were talking about that they had uncovered a plot to blow up a building. I think it was in Michigan, one of the Michigan legislative buildings. And they believed that they needed to blow it up to stop the government from slowing down riots in Michigan. Is it Lansing, I believe? Yeah. And I don't understand why people think it's a good thing to cause other people death. Maybe they're not smart enough to talk. That's all I can think. If you're not smart enough to discuss, then the only thing you can do is beat up or kill the opponent. I'm glad that most of our people are able to discuss their problems. Not all of them. Not even a huge majority. But anyway, I hope that speech from JFK is just a reminder of where we came from. He was a very flawed but very intelligent president that we had for, what, 3.5 years till he went to Dallas? And if you're as old as I am, you remember that day very well. That's probably the one day in my life that I remember as well as any other day. Even more so than 9/11. 9/11 is a little bit more fresh in my memory, but I would say the day that they killed Kennedy was probably even more important in my mind. You know, it jumps out more than 9/11. 9/11 was also a horrible day, which I think we will all agree. It was horrible for everybody involved. Even the perpetrators, I believe it was probably pretty horrible for them. I doubt that they, well, most of them died, but I doubt that they got what they thought they were going to get out of that. They did get, I guess, America to its knees a little bit for a while. But it, I think, my feelings are, we came back stronger. We came back with, I know people hate rules and legislation and stuff like that, but we came back stronger along that line with guidelines of how to live and how to keep each other alive that probably have helped us in the years since then. Well, you're listening to... what the heck is the name of the show? You're listening to Swap Shop. I'm Glenn Coble. It's Swap Shop is kind of on hold until we get through this. We'll still take calls like that person who's looking for the name and when a person. There's a gentleman who drives a truck up from Florida with all sorts of fruits, fresh fruits. Oh, boy. I could use some of that right now. He comes up here, and he usually sets up shop in one of the parking lots of the malls out there by 23 and 95. And she was just wondering if anybody knows when he's going to head north. She needs some vitamin C. So if you happen to know that or even know how we can get in touch with that gentleman, give us a call, 740-383-9944. And we'll let that lady know. I don't know. Another point that I want to bring back up about the COVID vaccinations that are coming to our county. I'm going to kind of brief this down a little bit, but you can get, they're going to bring in 900 more doses. They've already given doses to the first responders and that sort of thing. But starting on January 19th, those of us who are over 80 can go and get their shot. And they're going to be available at, this will be called Phase 1B, and they're going to be available at Marion Public Health, Ohio Health, Marion General Hospital, the local Meijer and local Kroger pharmacies. And you can schedule your appointment by going to those particular places. Give them a call. We have some phone number. I have a phone number that wasn't working earlier, but I'll give it to you. 866-211-5320. And that's the Kroger. It's at Kroger.com/OhioCovidVaccine. You can call there or go online and schedule your appointment. Or you can visit Meijer.com or you can call their number, 740-389-5402, and make your appointment. But as of the 19th of this month, you can 80-year-old Marionites can get their shots. As of the 21st, those of us who are 75 or older can get their shots. As of February 1st, those of us who are 70 or older or people that are employed by K through 12 schools can get shots. And as of February 8th, 65-year-old Marionites can get their shots. For further information, I guess you can email Marion Public Health at appointments@marionpublichealth.org. appointments@marionpublichealth.org. Make sure you have your contact information when you call them so that they can get back to you. And I wish you luck. I'm going to get in touch. I'll be able to schedule after February 1st. My wife will be able to, don't tell her I told you this, but she'll be able to schedule after January 25th. She's a year old, well, she's 8 months older than I am, but it happens to fall that she's 75 and I'm 74. good for her, but bad for her, right? Okay. Well, I hope that everything goes well this week, this coming week in Washington, D.C. We are all worried about further evil and further rioting. This is not a demonstration. I saw no demonstration. As a matter of fact, on the news this morning, they showed that as a lady orchestrated how the rioters broke in, she told them what room to go to, that they needed to turn around, go to their left, and that room was the room that they needed to get in. I mean, it sounded really orchestrated, which is very disturbing, very saddening. Obviously, they weren't there as a demonstration. They had a plan. They were planning to, it sounds like they were planning to kill some people. I hope that's not true, but I don't know. And I'm not sure that anybody's going to tell us one way or the other. They did end up killing five, was it? And one other policeman committed suicide because of this. It's too much to bear that people are that evil, that mean, that thoughtless, that they will do this sort of thing. I'll leave it up to you whether you believe the president instigated any of this or whether he did not. Mr. Giuliani told them that we ought to have something by combat and really called for it, which makes me very upset with him, a man who was revered back at 9/11, but has become kind of a strange person. I don't understand where our minds have gone. We have people who we used to think were brilliant people. Well, one of the leading young men in the, I think it's the Republican Senate, or is he congressman, is Harvard trained. You would think, my wife and I keep wondering what Harvard's teaching anymore, but, you know, people learn what they want to learn. People learn. There are teachers. I don't know if you've gone to college. I'm sure you had professors that were unusual in their teaching styles. My son, excuse me, my son had a professor, an art professor, art appreciation professor, that taught them by bringing in a straw man and they decorated him or something. It just seemed kind of, it didn't seem like college education, but apparently my son loved it and enjoyed it, so maybe he did learn something. But right now, it kind of is scary how many highly educated, I mean highly educated people we have currently in our Congress that don't seem to be able to figure out how to make this world work right. We also, surprisingly enough, one of the, I learned yesterday that one of the female congressmen, I think she's Republican, does not have a high school education, which is, that blew my mind. I can't imagine that. I'm not saying that you have to be formally educated to be intelligent. There are a lot of people in this world that have nothing but mom and dad's teaching them when they were growing up to help them that are brilliant. But it does seem a little odd that we would elect somebody that doesn't at least have a college education. Not that that's a sign that you're brilliant. Believe me, I have a college education, and I doubt that anybody would call me brilliant. matter of fact, I know a lot of people online that have called me other things other than brilliant, which would indicate that they think I'm anything but brilliant. So anyway, I hope that you have a good week. I hope that everything stays calm. I hope that we don't have riots like they say we will in Columbus. I think they're talking about the 17th, was it? Or was it the 16th? I'm trying to look it up right now. Well, I can't find it. Naturally, I don't have it. But I think it's the 17th. They're talking about having riots in Columbus. I'm staying clear. I hope you do, too. There is no need to go there. You know, even the ones that I've been involved in, the kind of violent protests that I've been involved in, I was usually there by, if not accident, I was there by ignorance. I didn't know what was going to happen. But the ones I've participated, the things I've participated in recently in Marion, the Black Lives Matter demonstrations have been very peaceful and very positive, with the exception of an occasional one-finger salute from people driving by us. Nothing bad, you know, people expressing their opinion. Anyway, I've got about 2.5-3 minutes left to go, and I doubt that we can get any phone calls in, but if you happen to know where that gentleman, when that gentleman is coming up north with his fruit truck, let us know quickly, 740-383-9944. We'd love to know. We've got a lady that's looking for the answer. I'm looking for the answer now because she's got my mouth watering for some oranges. The oranges you get in the grocery right now, not real sweet. Or at least the ones I've gotten are not real sweet. They lose something in their storage and their long hauls. If he's bringing it up today, he could get it here in 22 hours from southern Florida. And, boy, you could be munching on a really sweet orange. If they're in in season right now. I don't know that stuff. I like to grow stuff, but I'm not real smart about it. As if you would come and look at my garden in the middle of the summer, you'd know I wasn't very smart about it. Yeah, I like to grow tomatoes. Don't do very well. I like to grow zucchini. This last year, I got zero zucchinis off my zucchini plant. I must have done something wrong there. One of the things I can't get to grow, and I was trying to grow it in my basement under my grow light, radishes. They grow fast. I get lots of green, but no radish. Oh, well. I don't know. Maybe you can text me or message me at glenncoble@hotmail.com. message me and tell me what the heck I'm doing wrong that I can't get a single radish to grow under all the green that I have. Obviously, I've got plenty of fertilizer for the green. I just don't have any fertilizer for the red. All right, well, we're going to get out of here today, and I hope you have a great week. I hope this country stays healthy, stays safe, and I hope you the same. I hope you have a wonderful week, and stay healthy, please. Bye-bye.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP, Marion.